Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Timberwolves podcast, March 27th edition. Joining myself, Zachary Bennett, at Zachary BD on Twitter, is Tom Schreier.
I'm back.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Back from another one of your luxurious vacations.
Right, exactly.
This guy travels all over the country, soon internationally.
Right.
I mean, what do you do when you go on all these trips? Where were you this last one?
So the only time I missed something was California, and that was, February. And you covered two games, Alex covered one. We finally got Alex in the
We'll talk about something he wrote a little later on the program.
Right.
The Timberwolves tank.
Right, Alex Berg. That was to some friends. I went to college in California and I haven't seen those guys in a while. And then my family does a trip to Florida every year. They've gone various different places. This is my extended family on my dad's side. So I joined them for the last half of a week. I've been warm.
I had to turn you up.
It was cool. I'm trying to push them to do it near Fort Myers so that I can do Twins coverage. And my cousins are getting older now where they enjoy baseball. They know what they're seeing. We were out by Daytona Beach, which was cold, actually. It was about 45 degrees.
I was going to say, Sam Ekstrom, host,
yeah,
of, the
we
locked,
talked about it.
Host
yep.
of the Locked On Vikings podcast, said the weather was not as prime as he would have liked it to be while he was down there.
It was warm the week before. It was, I think, kind of warm the week after. But, yeah, it was it is what it is. For me, it really didn't bother me too much just because I just enjoy my little cousins are hilarious. They're all into March Madness and their brackets and stuff. And
I haven't even looked at my bracket recently.
UNC is keeping me in it. I did all right considering how messed up it got, but I'm fine with it. I'm kind of a pseudo Gonzaga fan. I interviewed Mark Few when I was in college a couple times, and I just really like him as a guy. So he was easy to work with as a media person, and it was good stuff.
Well, it's a beautiful day in Minneapolis, I tell you that. Relatively, I think it's flirting with near 45, 50-degree weather.
Oh, it was 60 in my car.
Really?
55, 60, yeah.
In your black car, I think it's a little after it sits in the sun in a while.
Right. I think I pulled it up, though. I think it is actually 55 degrees. I looked on my phone.
We can spend a little more time talking about the mild to hot weather as the Timberwolves are cold as ice, riding a season-high 6-game losing streak after defeats over the weekend to the Los Angeles Lakers, 130-119, an overtime loss to the Lakers, and a loss to the Portland Trail Blazers, which was, I think, not as close as the score would reveal, 112-100. The Wolves ended up outscoring the Blazers, who had already put in the subs during the fourth quarter, 26-18. But you're here. Right. I wanted to talk to you quickly before we get into the dismal state of the Timberwolves about you talking to Zach LaVine, and he talked at practice back on the 22nd. He says he feels good right now. What were your takeaways from that session of media availability?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that stood out to me is that he's just in good spirits. He's still kind of the same guy, the same goofiness. He has kind of a moxie, a charisma, or just kind of a personality that's very likable. And I think people forget about these things when players go down. I think that he offered something in the locker room. Carl Towns always says the right thing. Andrew Wiggins kind of quiet, although coming out of his shell. And then, Cole Aldrich and Jordan Hill, you'd think could help, but Aldrich has kind of been glued to the bench. And Jordan Hill, literally just doesn't play. So I think having a guy who was the team's best three-point shooter, a go-to option scoring, part of quote-unquote the big three, you know, he played a pivotal role. And I think, you know, it just reminded me, like, I think LaVine offered more than just whatever he did on the court. And I'm encouraged. Again, he was walking. I don't think he could go win a dunk contest right now. But I was encouraged just by him walking over, by his attitude, that, look, this is a team that's sponsored by a medical company and has the Mayo Clinic, obviously one of the...
It's where they practice.
Right, the Mayo Clinic Square. And then, I mean, literally you walk right across the hall and you're in their sports, you know, center. So this is, you know, it wasn't lost on me that I'm taking this video and right behind it is an advertisement for Mayo Clinic, you know, sports medicine. So I think he's young enough. I think he's going to be smart about this. It's kind of interesting how history repeats itself. And once again, Tibbs and his regime, and now he even has more power, is going to be kind of on the hook in some ways for how he treats a player with an injury that Derrick Rose had. And we saw kind of how Derrick Rose went from MVP, hometown hero, whatnot, to, you know, a player that was criticized for not coming back too soon, kind of was never the same guy. Ends up getting shipped off to New York. So the parallels are kind of it's not a perfect parallel, are interesting.
You can read Tom's article at zonecoverage.com under the Timberwolves tab. You can follow Tom on Twitter at TSCHREIER. Why can't you have a last name that's easier to spell, man?
I don't know.
Your heritage.
All the vowels, man.
Again, that's at TSCHREIER3. Another, I thought, funny part of the article, a conversation about Thibodeau's yelling. About this.
Right, so I thought this was kind of funny. Tibbs went first, and, you know, it's funny, we, especially on days like this, there's a lot of media, and there's a lot to cover, because, you know, you try to do more than just Zach LaVine, obviously.
It's amazing how many more cameras there are on days like
this. Right, I know, I remember walking in, and I was like, what the hell is up with this? And, Kent goes, yeah, it's LaVine's here, and I was like, right.
You can always go to Kent Youngblood for dry, sarcastic remarks.
So the best, this is a little inside journalism, but the best part of this is, you know, we do split up, especially when there's a lot to transcribe, transcription. So John Krasinski does some, I do some, Kent does some.
Kent is the main orchestrator of this.
You
can tell over time that Youngblood has done so much transcribing, because right when everybody gets back in, it's like, all right, Who wants this?
He also gave me a ton of crap for being slow. But Tyus Jones, you got to love Tyus Jones. Brother Trey did well in the championship
game.
Won
the state title.
Exciting. Yeah. I don't know if you watched it. It was an exciting game, them in Champlain Park, Apple Valley and Champlain Park. But anyways, really nice guy. Trails off in everything he says. And unfortunately, it was the part of practice where they're still kind of practicing. And there's Omri Caspi dribbling the ball as goddamn hard as he can.
JJ Barea, right.
Like right next to my recorder. But so it took me a while to get through that. And then Rubio was great. He's, you know, basically fluent, and there wasn't any basketballs bouncing around. But anyways, he was giving me crap for being slow. But Kent was the one who transcribed Tibbs, and he was like, at approximately 3:30 p.m. on, you know, whatever, the year of your Lord 2017 and whatever day it was, Tom Thibodeau cracked a joke. It's in the transcription. And I was like, first of all, Tibbs has cracked jokes before. And actually, his humor is funny because it's kind of that like dry, you know, mafia man humor. And he was like, yeah, we asked something about how do you allow LaVine to fit in, feel part of the team. And he goes, I still yell at him. And LaVine's always been funny about it, where I think like on Tibbs' birthday or something, you know, we asked him, did you get Tibbs a present? He goes, oh, I'm just gonna play defense and I'll make him happy. so you know, I this is really fun. And we asked Rubio about it, and he kind of, you can see in the video I posted here, he kind of gave that little cheeky Rubio smile. He's like, you know, yeah, we still yell at him. Or I mean, not we, but Tibbs still yells at him. So yeah, it's, you know, it's funny stuff. And I think they handle this pretty well. But I don't know, I got a kick out of it. I always like this stuff.
Do you have any takeaways from the Wolves' loss to Portland?
Just that you have to play this team two times more. I think there's going to be an overreaction that, you know, oh, the Wolves aren't going to be able to keep up with their division, and Portland's always going to have them, you know, under their thumb or whatever. I mean, Portland's a team that overspent for players that are going to get them into the playoffs and not much more, right? So the way I look at it is more cumulatively. Surprise, surprise, Britt had a really good column about this, how the team, I had written this, that I thought they had a turning point against Utah, you know, hold this really good Utah team to 80 points, kind of this feeling that things were coming around, and they had played better, I think, in February as well, leading up to that game. But I was like, oh man, you know, this team has finally turned it on after kind of this ridiculous Houston game where they ran up the score. And all of a sudden, Bielitsa goes down in the Boston game, and the bubble bursts again. And here's my contention. They are really thin on players. Tibbs didn't go out and get a whole bunch of guys in the offseason because he didn't want to do what Portland did, where he locked himself into bad contracts. He also has to pay Wiggins, pay LaVine, pay Towns coming up here soon. I think that hurts him more than people are like, oh, well, is he really an MVP? Is he? I mean, Bielitsa was playing well. You know, Jang got hurt by LaVine going out. They had a good two-man game. And I think Jang defensively always has a role. Offensively was a little hampered when LaVine went out. And the way I see it, I mean, I think that was a big loss for them. And all of a sudden, yeah, we just see this trend where how people are hanging 100 points on them pretty regularly. Losing to L.A., bad loss. I know it's in L.A.
Night where they inducted Shaq into their little ring of honor.
Right. I know what New Orleans did. I still feel like you should be able to compete with one of those teams when you're going. Outside of that, it's just a little surprising to see them beat Golden State, beat Washington, beat the Clippers. I know the Clippers are in a weird spot, but hold Utah to 80 points. And then literally not that, you know, a week or so later, I know it's a road trip, but Boston wanks them, Miami wanks them, New Orleans wanks them. You get something going against San Antonio, but can't finish it off. Lose to LA. And then the Portland game, I just like, you know, at this point, the Wolves are not making the playoffs. You know, we kind of joked, I think last time I was on the show, we were like, hey, we realize they're in a playoff race. Well, now we realize they're not going to make it. I still think, give an honest effort here.
You have to embrace the role of spoiler is what you're saying.
I think it's more figure out if Chris Dunn can play point guard. Figure out if, you know, Wiggins can engage for a full 40 minutes or however long he's on the court. Get Towns up to snuff on defense. And then let's see Rubio finish strong here. Because I think if Rubio does, it's going to be really hard for me not to say you got to ride out his contract. And if you want to move on to a different point guard afterwards, that's fine. He'll be a little bit older. Otherwise, it's a good number. He's playing well. And, you know, the finish strong thing always gets overplayed, especially when you have to finish five of the last six games at, you know, away from home. But and then this is Golden State, Portland, Utah, you know, Houston are some of those teams you're playing. That's going to be tough. But show something, right? I mean, the end game now is not go to the – it would have been fun to go to the playoffs, bring playoff basketball back to Minnesota. For right now, it's give people a reason to get a ticket next year. You know what I mean? Give people a reason to believe the Tibbs regime will work. And it's probably mostly on the defensive end where they have to do work.
Yeah, Chris Dunn, now that you mentioned his name, did score a season high and career high, 17 points on 8 of 13 shooting. Had a better game than Tyus Jones in terms of scoring. Tyus Jones did finish with 4 assists, but only 1 point. On a grander note, you know, big picture note, the Wolves over the last 6 games, which beginning with that loss in Boston that you mentioned, are giving up 119.6 points per 100 possessions, which is awful. No team in the league is giving up more points at that rate. Opponents are shooting a blistering 55% from the field and 43% from three. And it's just been bleh. I mean, it's cool that Andrew Wiggins has cornrows and everything and Karl Anthony.
I was going to mention this. Go back to the other hairstyle, Andrew. Like, I loved his hair.
I like the mini fro.
Yes, I love it. I love it because it's such a unique tech. I don't know why I think about this, but like it's such a unique texture.
And there's the mini fro, the Kobe one, and the messy fro, which I think is the most popular. The one where he looks like he just got out of bed.
Yeah, I like that. I might need to talk to Andrew. He's a nice guy. Maybe get in.
You got his number? You got his phone number?
Right. No, I don't. Hey, Andrew, change your hair. Hey, do what you want. Whatever floats your boat. But I do think, let's see the defense come together here, because this is what Tibbs is supposed to do well. I don't know if you want to open the whole, you know, they're about to win their, they will win their 29th game, and I think they'll probably end up with, is 33 wins fair, I think, you know, like something like that. There's going to be this open question of, oh, Sam Mitchell could have done the same thing. First of all, Sam.
You could have, though.
Fair. Here, a couple of notes here. Mitchell, I think, was about to give up on Bielitsa, and Bielitsa is playing well. And
if he ever gave him a fair shot.
Right, right. And I think Bielitsa is an important part of the team. I think Tibbs, from day one, was on board with Bielitsa, and that confidence had started to manifest itself before he got hurt. Number two, I don't think the team would be in the same place 4 years from now with Sam as it would be with Tibbs. I think Tibbs is an elite-level coach. I think there needs to be an adjustment made. He, over time, cannot overplay his young players. The second thing is he needs to calm down a little bit. I understand early on he's trying to drive the defense home and ice. I think he's always going to be a little crazy, and that's fine. Eventually he's going to have to take a little breather here and kind of let the players play. But outside of a few minor adjustments, I think he understands they need to do something in the offseason. I think they need to either get an impact wing player or, most importantly, a big body.
They need a playmaking four, for sure.
Yes, yes. So, and, you know, the injury to LaVine, I kind of wonder is, A, can you have a Steph Curry moment here where, like, Curry basically got underpaid because he was hurt? It sounds bad, but it's like, look, you're going to have a lot of money wrapped up in this team pretty soon. You not only have to sign Wiggins to a max, Towns to a max, but you probably have to go get some free agents to supplement this team. And I'm really pushing, I have for a long time, that LaVine and Jen come off the bench unless they're playing small ball, like, you know, against a small ball lineup. So I kind of wonder how that dynamic works itself out. But I believe Tibbs in the long run. I see what he's doing. He's accelerating everything. I thought the team had it together. I do think this injury matters.
It looked like they did. It looked like they
did. But I think losing Bielitsa and LaVine matters. Those are two of your best players on a team that's kind of shallow in depth. There's a lot of guys they're not going to rely on. They don't trust. He doesn't trust Jordan Hill. He doesn't trust Cole Aldrich. I will commend him for this. I think he could have buried Tyus on the bench, given that he needs to know what he's got out of Dunn, and Rubio's playing well. I like that he's using the tandems, because I think Dunn, at the end of the day, is not a point guard. I think he is a defensive specialist, and his shot looks weird. It just does.
It's just so rigid.
It looks so weird, but, like, it goes in. And you know what?
Sometimes it goes in.
But it's starting a little bit more, I think. I've seen him hit more open shots. He also has this nice little move, and it's a good move for him, because he's this big-bodied guy that believes he could have played college football. He kind of throws his shoulder into a player and then dribbles back. Have you seen this? Kind of
creating space, yeah.
If he can knock down that shot, it's not Towns on the baseline, but that's nice to just have in your back pocket to use whenever you need it. So if Towns can hit open shots, be a competent shooter, I think defensively you got to love that guy. I mean, there's no one he doesn't back down from anyone. I mean, he is physical, and I think defensively minded, and I think they need a player like that. So, yeah, is he worth the number five pick? Maybe not, but you drafted an NBA caliber player, and there's a lot of busts in the NBA, so it's better than nothing, I guess.
Well, you do have a point on Dunn's shot looking better over the last five games. He's shooting over 50% at 51.5% on the season, 38.6%, which is lower than Ricky Rubio's 41-ish. I'm waiting for the... Go ahead.
And you mentioned the rigidity. I don't know.
Rigidity. I loved it. If it's not a word, we'll make it one.
his rigid nature. He is so opposite of Rubio. Rubio is kind of this, creative wizard, like makes everyone else around him better. I think Dunn is a key cog in a winning team. I think every winning team should have a player like that, that you just can lock guys down defensively and knock down open shots if they have to. I don't think it's in his chemistry. I think that guy is more likely to, tackle someone or something like that than he is to throw a sweet Rubio behind the back pass. I've seen a little bit of it, but not enough.
Every once in a while, he occasionally throws it behind a defender's back.
On accident. What Rubio does is just like, and this is why there's such a contrast between some people who watch all the time just don't like him, but I feel like there's a contrast between people who look at the stat sheet and read, and people who, you know,
turn the games on at 7 and
watch it, because it's just, you're like, every ball lands right where the player should be touching it to shoot. You know, that's just, Dunn's not going to do that. I think Dunn's a meat and potatoes guy, and that's a great thing to have on the team, but you don't like that?
No, I'm hungry.
Oh, right. I was like, wow. Yeah, no. So I'm not slamming Dunn here. I'm saying that he has weaknesses, and the best coaches figure out how to work around the strengths and weaknesses of their players. So
if there's a silver lining to the season, and we can basically talk about the season as if it's over, because soon we're going to have to start looking at draft prospects.
Right. You don't like this?
No, I don't at all.
Oh, I don't. I only know a little bit about college ball. So
I don't know anything, but I know that I have to start looking at draft prospects soon.
I do want to make one point, too, as we're putting the season kind of to bed. Look at how many times they play on national television versus Portland on the 3rd, NBA TV, ESPN at Golden State. They play on ESPN the next day. 2 days later, TNT at Portland, NBA TV against LA on April 9th, versus Oklahoma City on NBA TV. They're also unveiling a new logo that I think is going to go heavy on like neon.
April 11th, they're going to.
Yeah, so that's
that.
April 11th against Oklahoma City.
The players did get a sneak peek at that new logo today. Yeah. If you look at Timberwolves.
So a couple thoughts. Simply, they're going to get exposure, and don't kind of make an ass of yourself when you're on TV, right? Go show people you've learned the defense, and that this is what I'm going to write about for tomorrow. I think they've had tangible progress this year, but it's been incredibly sporadic. And it's incredibly individual, too. It's Rubio's gotten better. Bielitz has gotten better. Towns has more double-doubles now than he had last year. Wiggins has something like 47, probably more now, 20-plus point games. Broke through against the Spurs the last time they played. Individually, they're improving. Collectively, they need to play defense. Collectively, the offense needs to be a little more functional, especially in the third quarter, whenever the hell they have this kind of collapse. Show people on national television that care about the Wolves because of Towns, Wiggins, and Thibodeau. Show them that you're better. Show the people back home, too. But
give them a reason to buy tickets next year.
And in regards to the logo, I think this is an effort to – the Target Center will look different. They want the team to look different.
It's long overdue.
Do you hate their jerseys, though? People are, like, really dogging them, and I'm like, I think their jerseys are fine.
Yeah. I think that – yeah. I've interjected in different conversations about uniforms that – this is not the problem right now.
Right. It's a little redirection.
And I think over the abysmal 14 years of basketball that we've seen, they've undergone a few, like they've tried. There was the whole moon. They had the whole side view of the wall.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that.
I did like that one, actually. And I think they should bring it back, but it's likely we're going to see some neon green.
Yeah.
Some Atlanta Hawks neon green, maybe not to
that
degree.
Don't go full Hawks. Hawks did not work out.
I think the Hawks, unpopular opinion, I kind of like the Hawks blacks with the black Jays with the yellow and the neon green. I like them.
Oh,
I'll say it.
Oh, God. I'm
27 years old, by the way. Not a kid thing. I like them.
I hope they don't go full Atlanta. I think they'll be reminiscent of their first uniforms, right?
You think so?
I think. It's got to be something like that. I don't think they should go all the way back there. Plus, that old logo is a little goofy. It works as a retro logo, but you don't go back to the Timber Pup. You know, like, I don't know. Do you love that?
You don't like the original Wolf logo?
I like it as a retro.
Just staring forward with the ball behind?
I don't like it as much as the Howling. And I think the full-fledged Wolf looks pretty good. I don't know, but... I like it as a retro look. Like, I like it if they bring it back every once in a while. I don't like it as the full-time.
If they were going to bring back a retro look, it'd be the tree trim. The blacks with the tree trim around it.
And I didn't love those as much as people like.
Oh, dude.
I mean, I wonder if people like them, though, because that's the best era of Wolves basketball.
There could be something to that. But I think people like the retro ones, too. But retro's sort of retro in that, well, retro's retro. Wow.
I mean, the way...
That was stupid.
The way I think of it
people like retro because it's retro.
Yes, exactly.
People like nostalgia. I think nostalgia's poison, but, you know, you can have your opinions. Nostalgia's poison, man. I'm telling you.
The way I look at it, too, is, like, I don't love the Raptors jerseys, for example.
The blue ones?
The blue ones are a little better. The red and whatever the hell. Can't even think of what
you don't like the red? You don't like those?
I just think they're basic.
I think they're pretty cool. Less is more. I'm also
a
less is more
guy. Yeah, that's fair. My cousin is.
It'd be nice if the Wolves could wear the Minneapolis Lakers throwbacks, but you know.
Yeah, that would be cool. My cousin is somehow a Raptors fan, and he, I told him, I was like, I feel like you should have a Vince Carter, the old school Raptors jersey. I would never want that to be their
purples with the black pinstripes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that to be their everyday home jersey. But it's funny that that was that era. I mean, like there's certain ones, the Space Jam-ish Houston Rockets one with the little world and the rocket coming up. I don't know if you look up, you can look it up. But
it's an old one,
yeah.
Like the Adamon days.
Might be right. I mean, it looks 90s.
It's better than their, what's their, like, don't they have a something city jersey?
I don't know.
Forget it.
And then, you know, the Pistons one was admittedly terrible. But
which Pistons, Jay?
So Grant Hill era green with.
Oh, yeah, those are god-awful.
But it's funny that that was an official NBA jersey at that point. Like, that actually, someone wore that as a serious professional team.
Oh, yeah, I know. The Pistons one you're talking about. Were like.
How do you not know the Rockets one?
I can't. Well, the Rockets are weird in that the Houston is just such a large market, but.
Yeah, it's like absent of kind of a.
Rockets population. The Rockets are just sort of. Meh. They've always been meh.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yao Ming days were fun, but they've never been, like, I can't, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've never been to Houston or don't know that many.
I mean, it's the 90s. They had good teams.
There's just not a lot of Houston support that I've run.
I think it's a lot. It's like Atlanta. A lot of people move there.
Yeah, they're comparable to Phoenix, too, is what I was going to say. There's not a lot of
point.
It doesn't feel like there's a lot of people from there or a lot of rooted Rockets fans, but people sort of who pick them up along the way.
Old Suns jerseys. Not
sick.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Sick. And their current jerseys? Poop.
Yeah.
Although, if you score 70 points in a game, I suppose it doesn't matter what
Devin
you wear.
Devin Booker looks 14, but I love his game.
Back to Wolves notes. You dodged the question. Linings.
Silver linings for the team.
Is it Karl Anthony Towns' offense?
Karl Anthony Towns' offense. I think Wiggins is more confident now than he's been in the past, both on and off the court. I don't think there's anyone he worries about jamming on. I think he's learning, like, he can kind of score at will. Every time he misses it, when he missed those two free throws a couple games back, I don't remember which one it was. I think this is the Golden State game. People are tweeting at me like, oh, Wiggins isn't clutch. He's not going to go. I don't know about that. I think he's kind of got that laid back personality that he can deliver in the clutch. Ricky Rubio for sure. I mean, just has taken a step forward. Bielitsa for sure. Like I said, when you look at it individually, individual players have improved. I think the other thing too is it's just a positive for the organization to have a coach who can compartmentalize, who is crazy on the court, who can be joking before the game, who is serious before and or whether the team wins or loses after, and just kind of explains what's happened. But then all the other times that he's doing media availability, practice, and even sometimes after games, he's teaching the game. He has a plan in place. He understands how he's executing it, and he has just an incredible understanding of the league. He knew not bringing in Lance Stephenson would not blow up the team. It was fine. In fact, I think if he wasn't hurt, he would be valuable. I think, you know, and he
more
just,
valuable than Omer Caspi.
Yeah, I think Caspi probably.
I like the idea of Caspi, but so far it's just been.
So my point being is I think that's actually a positive for the team, that you have someone in place here who, instead of just being combative with everyone, is saying, this is my plan, this is how I see the game, and isn't swept up in the highs or lows. He seems the same guy when they win or lose, so after the game. So I think. I look at a lot of silver linings. I'm going to write about it for probably tonight for tomorrow. We'll kind of keep on talking about it. And I think I still believe in the 5-year plan. I think you have to look at it as year one. Mitchell wasn't as bad as people thought. He did not have, I will stand by this, does not have the potential Tom Thibodeau does. I just think Thibodeau, there's a reason why he was the fastest coach to 100 games. And probably had he not gotten arguments with management in Chicago, would still be there. Look at what happened when he left. Look at what happened before he got there.
Oh, and the comparison. I mean, now what's come out of Chicago about Fred Hoiberg and players believing the team needs to practice harder. Jimmy Butler, the rift between him and Jimmy Butler. It's just been...
And look at before. I mean, before 2 years of 500 ball under Vinny Del Negro. So, you know, I know. But you know what I'm saying. Like,
anyone but Del Negro.
He is an impact coach, and I am fine with him being a Bulldog and just kind of forcing his way. And at the same time, I think, you know, it's funny. I asked Wiggins after the San Antonio game. I said, look, Tibbs talked about structure in the post game and said, we need to have discipline. The same damn thing. And he was so upset. I wrote about it in my post game, but he was so upset. And he was like, we can't have guys going rogue. It's the same damn thing he said over and over again when the team loses. And I asked, I said, Andrew, like, how do you balance making plays and being a guy who can be an impact player and staying disciplined? And he said, it's just playing basketball and it's kind of developing instincts as a result of that. Even the games they lose, these close games are good for these young players. Wiggins needs to figure out, when do I pass, when do I shoot, and how do I ensure it goes in? Towns goes, same thing. Like, if I'm double teamed, where do I throw the ball? Rubio has to be able to hit a shot if he's open. Same thing with Chris Dunn. Nemanja Bjelica can't just be a stat accumulator. I would say the same thing about Towns too. Stop stealing the ball from people on those rebounds. Like, that one time it almost went out of bounds and Shabazz tweaked out. This is a couple of games ago. Like, these are learning experiences that are good for this team. And the more pressure they're under earlier on, I think the better they'll be, because by year three, they have to be in the kind of contender talk, right? They got to make the playoffs next year, and I think the year after they have to be in contender talk, or by year four it's 100% pressure on Tibbs.
Jim Pete said it best during the broadcast on the Portland game. Dave Benz was talking about how the Wolves need to, you know, they've become the spoiler. Jim Pete said, well, in a couple of years we'll be talking about where the Wolves will be seated in the playoffs, not if.
It should have been this year. They should have made the 8 seed this year.
Oh, they've let a lot of people down. Tim Bontemps predicted 50 wins.
Britt had 47. Vegas had him 41.
I had 44.
I think I was in the 42, 43. I don't remember. But,
man, are we idiots.
But look, a handful of these games go the other way. The guys stop going rogue. They figure out how the defense works. They're right there. The other thing, too, is they have more potential, I think, than most of these teams that are kind of swimming in the bottom of the West, with the exception of maybe like in New Orleans if they add another piece or something. But I think forget the spoiler role, that's fine, but just don't make an ass of yourself on national television.
And stay healthy.
And this is the Zach Bennett curse. Zach Bennett goes on our podcast and goes, yeah, we're gonna have an injury, and lo and behold, Mr. Levine goes down. But
you, I'm just hey, come on, man.
I'm just joking.
You can blame me. I'm kidding.
It was just ridiculous.
But I mean, you can't go through a season without injuries. It's just not. No team does it.
And he has to get to a point where he trusts his bench more, so that Wiggins, Towns.
I'm sure when he builds a bench, I'm sure that'll be
the other dynamic too. Is people, Tom Thibodeau never will do that. Okay, in Chicago, he's fighting against the management, right? Here, he's making his own bed. He's got to lay in it in 4 or 5 years here, right? So he's going to think about it differently. I mean, that's common logic, common sense here, right? So I don't know. I'm interested to see where the Wolves go. It's been a weird season. It's been one of the most enjoyable I've covered, just because I think I can see a path forward here. And it's not, for the first time since Saunders came back, I kind of can see this.
You can read Tom's article that he's about to write for tomorrow morning at zonecoverage.com. Follow him on Twitter at tschreier3. Figure out how to spell the last name on your own, because I don't want to spell it again. I think that's good for today.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Locked On Wolves podcast. For Tom, for myself, we'll talk to you tomorrow. So long.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.